Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
It's about damn time.
It's Thursday night and time for the hot corner.
There are 108 beads in a Catholic rosary and there are 108 stitches in a baseball.
Your home for all things MLB.
Suck one out of the park for me.
The Reds, the Cubs, the Cardinals, the Dodgers, and the White Sox.
I love baseball.
The Balance has you covered with a hot corner.
Watch where you're walking, guys. I don't want you to step in the crap I just knocked out of that ball, huh?
News, rumors, and fantasy, it's all in the hot corner.
Baseball, it's the best.
And here is your host, Tom Marquis.
All right, my baseball minions, my name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. You know me as your fearless leader of The Balance every Saturday morning. And as we bring you The Balance, but on Thursday nights, we round the bases and we bring you baseball. We talk about the great American pastime, and that is the sport of baseball. And, of course, this week we got a lot on the plate. No pun intended. Yes, he's back. Who, you ask? Well, he is back. And if you follow baseball, you know who that is. Also coming up here on Tuesday night, the 2013 American League versus National League All-Stars. Of course, we're going to talk about that as well. So don't go away, my men's. We will be right back right here on the Hot Corner on a Thursday night. Boy, I'm in a rare mood. You want to jump in the conversation, 917-889-8516. Joining us in the wings also will be Mr. Mark Timmons of L.A. Dodger Talk. We'll be right back right after this.
Little roller up along first. Behind the bag. It gets through Buckner. Here comes Knight, and the Mets win it.
Now the pitch. There's a high drive, deep right, center, way back. Might be out of here. It's off the wall. One run is in. Two runs are in. A third man scores. And look at this star. Way back. Might be out of here.
Hey! Hey!
He did it again. He did it again. The game is tied. Holy cow.
How about that?
Here it is. There goes the runner. Hey, a line drive off the pitcher. Game's over. Cubs win. What a lucky break. The good Lord wants the Cubs.
Presidente, welcome to another episode of The Hot Corner, ready to bring you the best in baseball coverage and the number one baseball talk show on the internet in the world on Thursday nights between 6:30 and 7:30. So joining us is Mr. Mark Timmons of LA Dodgers Talk. Mr. Timmons, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Never better. How are you, Tom?
Never better, man. I'm going to tell you what. You got to get a T-shirt that says "Never Better." Just whatever, never better. Put that on ball caps. Your soon to be coming out. LA Dodger Talk bobbleheads. LA Dodger Talk.
Never better. So how was your 4th of July, sir?
It was excellent. I kept all my fingers. I didn't blow anything off. You know, that's always a good sign.
That is always a good sign, especially with me. I'm not really allowed to get into too much of those fireworks. I get the kind that, you know, that just sparkle around, or the kind you get out at Meijer, the $49 value package that barely shoots up above the bumper of your car, you know. But our neighbors were in full force here in Indianapolis. I tell you what, I thought I was in Iraq or something. All right, well, we're going to talk about a lot tonight, Mark. And you know what? We should tease this throughout the entire show. But, you know, I'm all about let's talk about it. Let's get it over with, because there's a lot more important things in my mind and in my opinion to talk about more than Derek Jeter coming back to the Yankees. And you know, here's the thing. I was kind of hoping that we'd see him out here toward the end of the month when Scranton played the Indians at home. But I guess I was unaware of a Major League Baseball rule that says they could only be in the AAA for 20 days. So that eliminated him from playing here in Indianapolis against the Indians. The park would have been packed, that's for sure. But Jeter is back ready to go, obviously, today against the Royals and the Yankees. So, Mr. Mark Timmons, obviously an American League team, but Derek Jeter is Derek Jeter, and unfortunately, those powers that be have deemed Derek Jeter the one player who can walk on water in baseball. He's back. Designated hitter goes 1-for-4 against the Royals in the first game of the season. So, Mr. Timmons, what are your thoughts on the return of Captain Comeback, Derek Jeter?
Well, I mean, it's amazing that he's came back. I mean, he's like 104 years old, and of course, it's going to be interesting to see if he can ever really play shortstop again. I mean, you know, that's a tough thing to come back from an ankle injury like that. And, you know, give him credit for trying, but how well he's really going to be able to play, it'll amaze me if he could even be a shell of himself. So, time will tell.
Well, and that brings up an interesting point, that the Yankees, why would the Yankees, it's not like they can't afford to pay off his contract or do it. Why'd they go ahead and re-sign him knowing that he's never going to be the way that he was? I think he would be a more valuable asset to another team that really might need him, i.e. the Marlins, for example, as opposed to the Yankees just keeping him as a designated hitter or what have you.
Well, I mean, he's not going anyplace. I mean, he's been there his whole career. He is the Yankees. He puts butts in seats. They'll get a few more people there that'll pay a little more to come in and drink a few more beers and, you know, get some more concessions. So it's all about putting butts in seats, and he's going to do that. And they may hope that he can regain it, but it's like A-Rod. I mean, you know, do we really think A-Rod's going to amount to anything if he ever does get a chance to play? You know, he's probably going to get suspended here right at the All-Star game.
Well put. Touche, sir. Well, certainly the Yankees will welcome the future Hall of Famer Derek Jeter back with open arms to their lineup. Obviously, they did today. Maybe not a moment too soon. And so we'll see. The Yankees always find a way to find that diamond in the rough, and perhaps Derek Jeter is the diamond in the rough for the Yankees or for the MLB as well. Obviously, we're not going to see him in this year's All-Star game. But Derek Jeter is Derek Jeter, and, you know, we'll see if he'll ever be the once great Derek Jeter as he was. Maybe I would like him a lot better if he wasn't with the Yankees and wasn't in the middle of all this steroid crap and all this other stuff back when people were really talking about it. So we'll see how the season pans out. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Dodgers, sir. The Dodgers always in the spotlight, as always. Of course, the LA Dodgers get ready to tonight out in LA against the Rockies. And so You know, the Dodgers had a pretty good showing in the debut with the Diamondbacks. So let's talk about that game series that's coming up right here tonight. Obviously, the Rockies coming in at 44-48, and right there beside him is the Dodgers, 45-45 at .500, right before the All-Star break. And you know, as they say in Indiana, if it's knee high before July 4th or something like that, it's going to be a good season. So, you know, the prognosticators always say if you can be at .500 before the All-Star break, that's a good thing.
Yeah, here's the thing, you know, about 2.5 weeks ago, I said unless the Dodgers can reel off about 12 wins in a row, they're going to be sellers. They just need to gut this team and start over. And I called for Don Mattingly's firing, and I called for to get rid of some of the overpriced players. And lo and behold, Yasiel Puig got hot, and Hanley Ramirez got hot. And you know, for all the publicity Puig's getting, Ramirez is hitting better than Puig is. Hanley Ramirez is back to his MVP form of 2009. He keeps it up. He could win the MVP this year. That's not a joke. And they've reeled off. They've won 15 out of the last 18 games, and they're .500 now. So and that's quite a turnaround, and it's been amazing.
Well, absolutely, and you called it, and we'll see what happens. But you know, the Dodgers are we like to talk about them being the Yankees, perhaps of the National League, especially with the bankroll that they've had, but not been able to make it happen. So. Let me ask you this, though. I mean, is there anything that you think at this point, and I've asked you this question before, maybe you stand by your answer, but is there anything at this point that will save Don Mattingly's job?
Well, he may have just saved it. if they keep playing like they're playing, I mean, they're the hottest team in baseball right now. I mean, I really didn't think they could turn it around. Before the season started, I predicted they'd win 94 games, but I also said it wouldn't surprise me if they won 81 games. Because, you know, they just had a lot of question marks. I mean, Carl Crawford is 72 years old and falling apart, and Adrian Gonzalez is getting old, and, you know, they got a lot of older players. And, Andre Uthier, I didn't think was all that, and Mark Ellis is getting old. But, you know, these Hanley Ramirez came back with a vengeance, and who knew about Puig? I mean, he's just been incredible. So, and Adrian Gonzalez, he's not the best first baseman in baseball anymore, but he's doggone good. And so they've got some players that can score, put the runs on the board. I could see him going after a second baseman or a third baseman. I'm a little worried they might go after Chase Utley. He's an LA guy, and they might go after him, and I'm not sure he's going to hold up either. That's the problem. But you know, I can definitely see them. I mean, with signing Ricky Nolasco, getting him, their top four pitchers are pretty tough.
And you bring up an interesting point, and certainly maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here, but with Ricky Nolasco, that trade is pretty interesting, as it really might be a sign of the come of what's to come of the Dodgers, and I think that could be probably one of the smartest transactions that the Dodgers have done in recent history.
Well, his first game sure looked good. He's not a great pitcher, but he's been a solid pitcher. He certainly fits well in the number four or five slot. They've lost Beckett for the year. They've lost Billingsley for the year. Capuano has been out, and he hasn't looked good when he's been in there. Ted Lilly's still on the disabled list. So they've Stephen Fife has looked good at times, but he's on the DL too. So they've got a lot of issues with that fourth and fifth spot, and this gives them four solid starters with Kershaw, Greinke, Ryu, and Nolasco.
Well, right now Nolasco, and obviously with Kip and Fife on the disabled list. This could be a really good opportunity for the Dodgers to shine in at a time when they really need to shine, and certainly a time when one Mr. Don Mattingly is like, the heat is off of me finally. So it should be an interesting game. Obviously, like I said, they take on the Diamondbacks, a great team in their own right. They come out with a win in the first game. The Dodgers, I believe, are going to be starting Capiano, and the Rockies will be starting Pomerantz. Excuse me, sir, tonight. So that's an interesting matchup as well. So what are your thoughts on that?
Again, they're hot. I mean, it's hard to argue with hot, you know. Confidence, winning breeds confidence. Confidence breeds winning. It's a vicious cycle. So, wouldn't surprise me to see them keep winning.
Well, and certainly the Rockies have their own all stars. They got two of their own their all stars. Along with Gonzalez, who had the National League second best average at .347, along with 16 homers and 51 RBIs to his injury. So we'll see what happens. But hey, certainly interesting conversation to talk about as we move into the all stars beginning on Tuesday night. So, a lot of people look at the All-Stars just like a lot of other games. It doesn't really mean much. The NFL does their All-Star at the end of the season. We call it the Pro Bowl. Of course, the NBA does it mid-season or roughly thereabout as well. So does baseball. So how important is the All-Star game outside of knowing who will have home field advantage during the World Series, which, by the way, is a pretty stupid rule anyway?
Yeah, it doesn't really mean much. It's just it's tradition, it's history, and it does, decide the home field advantage, which, I think everybody wants to win. But it's not like it, at least it's not like football where they just go through the motions.
Right, absolutely, and these really are pretty hot plays. What I like most about the All-Star is the fact that I think the fans maybe don't have the entire say-so on it, but I think unlike a lot of sports, MLB fans really play a huge part in who shows up for who during the All-Stars. Would you agree with that?
Oh, no question. And even though Puig didn't make it, it wouldn't surprise me to see somebody come up lame and see him take their spot. Because I guarantee you, if somebody is injured on the roster, there's going to be an edict come down from Major League Baseball saying, hey, you better put Puig on there, because everybody wants to see him.
Right. And I don't think anybody wants to see, especially when you look at the Orioles and, well, the Reds, the Cardinals, or the Rockies for that matter. Do they really want to see when we're in such a tight race going into the postseason? Do they really want to see their stars, their main people going to play in the All-Star? So they could open up some other doors, would you think?
Sure, absolutely. No doubt in my mind.
Well, as it stands, we'll just kind of break down a little bit about who we know for sure with the National League. We'll obviously start with your guy, Adrian Gonzalez, first base, obviously with the Dodgers. Outfield, Hunter Pence with the Giants. And your other guy, outfielder, Pyong? Did I say that right?
Pig.
Pyong?
Puig.
Puig, like twig, but with a P.
Twig with a P, yeah.
Yeah, and then Desmond over there with the Nationals. And Freddie Freeman makes it in with the Braves. So there's your lineup right now for the National League as we see it now. And, of course, that's not really talking a lot about the Home Run Derby and so forth, but talking about the National League All-Star appearance, what are your thoughts?
Well, it looks like Freeman's, probably got the last spot. Everybody in the South voted for him. That watches Atlanta Braves, so I don't think Adrian Gonzalez cares about being on the All-Star team. Puig says he didn't, but I'm sure he does. Some of the other guys, Pence, he didn't really deserve it. I didn't think anyway. But he's having a good year. But you know, the other guy that's left off there is Hanley Ramirez. I mean, you could make a big argument for Ramirez being on there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely you could. Well, the Tigers obviously lead all the teams with a total of six representatives, and we were just talking about the Orioles. Obviously, the Orioles are in a tight race. We will see if they have their four players there. But Davis tallied, you know, what was that, 8 million some odd votes, the most of any player. And of course, who could forget Molina? Led the National League by being named on roughly 6 million ballots, and there are 30 first-time All-Stars. There we go. There are 30 first-time All-Stars. So, you know, Molina, great choice. Great choice for the National League. We look at the American League lineup. Steve DeLabar, Toronto. David Robinson with the Yankees. And Cole J with the Red Sox. I'm not even going to try it. And Tanner Schepters with the Rangers. And Juan Benoit with another one there with the Tigers. So as we look at the final vote candidates for the American League, what are your thoughts there?
Well, again, who knows? I mean, the fans are gonna elect them. I guess it looks like I haven't heard from the American League yet. Freeman, I guess, is in with the National League, but I haven't heard what the American League final vote winner is yet. They've got it posted on MLB that Freeman's in.
It looks like Freeman is in. So there you go,
sir.
They've
got it posted on MLB, but they don't have the final person posted on for the American League.
Well, to be continued, sir. To be continued. So I guess, you know, as we look at this, though, and what another thing what was surprising is that as well as the Pirates are doing, I was kind of shocked that we didn't see more of the Pirates being represented in the All-Stars. Or is that just because people think just because they're a Pirate, they're no good?
Well, yeah, I mean, who would you have put on there? I mean, that's the question. You know, I mean, they've got some decent players that are playing okay, but you know, who would you put on there? I mean, you know, you've got, I don't know, Alvarez is in the home run hitting contest, but I wouldn't think that he really deserves to be anything else. I mean, McCutcheon's having a good year. Tabitha's having a good year, but he's only got 100 at-bats. Presley is okay. He's not very many at-bats. Starling Marte has got, you know, hitting .289, not bad. Alvarez is .253. He's got 23 home runs. Russell Martin's at .242. You know, he's a good catcher, former Dodger. You know, I mean, nobody jumps out at you, you know.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Home Run Derby. You know, I like to watch the Home Run Derby. I mean, you compare it to other sports, maybe in the NBA, maybe the slam dunk contest, and you know, certainly some of the greatest sluggers to come out there and do it. You know, of course, excluding Albert Pujols, who didn't make as many appearances in the Home Run Derby as many I thought that he should have. But let me ask you this: depending on where the All-Stars are play that, Mark, you've got, you know, a lot of, you've got fields, and let's admit it, there are fields out there where hitters love to play in, and there are fields out there where hitters don't love to play in. So let me ask you this, how does Citi Field play in that aspect as a Home Run Derby host? I mean, do you think that you'd see players say, yeah, I'll come to the Home Run Derby, or I won't come to the Home Run Derby because of where the location of the park is?
Well, that could come into it, but I think everybody wants to go hit in New York in front of everybody. So, you know, the thing is, I don't put a lot of stock in that. You know, when you're trying to hit home runs, it seems like it's hard to do, you know, to some people. when you're just going up there and making contact, sometimes that's the best way to hit home runs. You know, players like Matt Kemp and even Puig, guys like that, they don't always pull the ball. The guys that pull the ball are probably going to win the home run contest every time. The David Howards and you know, the David Ortizes and people like that that pull the ball a lot. But you know, a lot of the better hitters there, they don't pull the ball as much. And so if you can pull the ball, you're probably going to hit it out of any field, you know.
Well, certainly there's a lot of people that compare the home run derby to nothing more than batting practice because it's not really a fast pitch. It's a batting practice style type of pitch. And a lot of people say, yeah, they can hit home runs easy in batting practice. So it's not really a home run derby. It should be under game type situations for the home run derby. So I don't know. We'll see. But certainly we got a good blend of veteran stars and up and coming players. And so we'll certainly look at some of those players as they come along during the home run derby. Give you just a couple. Get your thoughts on them, though. We look at David Wright. Certainly playing in front of his home fans, and David Wright will do his best to make sure he gets at least a few homers on the board. However, he may not want to be too aggressive in this contest.
Yeah, I would think they'll probably give David Wright the opportunity to do well. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't lead off, bat lead off. If I were laying out that lineup, I would probably bat him lead off.
And, of course, the Prince is back. Prince Filter, obviously a two-time champion, and I believe this will be the first time he's went as a Tiger. Am I correct on that, Mark?
I believe it is.
I think he's a...
I don't remember if he made it last year or not, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I can't remember either. I should have did my show prep a little bit better.
I could Google it, but you know.
Hey, you know, well, that's fine. But the thing about it, I guess that's my point. When you come to the home run derby, you're going to look for names like Prince Filter. He certainly knows how to put on a show for the crowd. I think he's a little too inconsistent of a hitter for us to expect a strong performance of him from 2 years in a row. But I think he should do well enough where he should get right there in the semifinals with the home run derby.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's one of those things. You get a little confidence. You're in the groove. You're not pressing. It's easy to win. You start pressing and you're trying to hit home run, and sometimes it's just not the easiest thing to do.
Well, one thing we were talking about, some of the young players up and coming, and we look at a young player and really a fun person to watch is Bryce Harper, and it certainly has shown his ability to dazzle with this play and skills, and this is an opportunity for him to really shine on a big stage, and he could come through with a great showing, and I wouldn't even put it past him to be able to win the home run derby. You know, the thing about it is, Mark, he's had 13 home runs even after missing a month with an injury, and is hitting one out of every 13.9 at bat. So,
yeah, he's a great player. I love him.
Well, so let's just get your opinion there, Mark. We'll see how we measure up with people in the national baseball fans, if you will. Who's going to win the 2013 Home Run Derby, Mark? Do you know all the choices? David Wright, Michael Calder,
yep.
Bryce Harper, Gonzalez, Cano, Filter, Davis, and Cespedes. This is getting, you know, Mark, this is getting as bad for me that pronounce baseball players' names as it is hockey and IndyCar drivers.
Well, you know, the one I'm going to go with is Bryce Harper, simply because he's the youngest, and, you know, he's maybe got a little more energy, and that might make the whole difference.
I'm going to agree with you on that. Bryce Harper would be my pick. 19.7% of the fans out there predict that Bryce Harper would win. Chris Davis is who is the popular vote to win, with roughly 32% of the vote to win the Home Run Derby. And then coming behind him, Prince Fielder, and then Bryce Harper. So, you know, Chris Davis, what are your thoughts about him winning? Certainly doing a great job out there with Baltimore, and one of the biggest storylines in the entire MLB has been the breakout performance of him. So certainly wouldn't put it past him with his ability to win. He's already matched his career high with 33 home runs and doesn't appear to be slowing down at any point. So I wouldn't rule him out. So maybe that's why he's a popular vote to win the Home Run Derby.
No, he would be my second choice. The interesting thing that I saw, though, is there's only been two or three players that have had 33 or had over 30 home runs at this stage of the game, of the season, and none of them have even ended up hitting 50. So it's kind of interesting that, you know, that was something I thought was interesting.
Well, I don't know how much you follow stats. I like to look at them maybe for the fun purposes of show prep and conversation. But as a fan, it's pretty cool. There's a site out there called Hitter Tracker Online. You can actually, whoever your player might be, but according to them, Chris Davis actually averages 405.9 feet per home run, and he's hitting the ball out of all fields. So, you know, it's his first appearance in an all-star game, and he's hitting too well to be nervous in the spotlight. So if this continues, he certainly could be one that's just knocking him out of the field. So we shall see, sir.
Time will tell.
Time will tell. Time is the biggest teller of all time, as we've seen many times coming. Well, we got to take a break. Mark, you going to hang around?
I'm probably going to need to go. I've got an appointment coming up that I've got to take care of.
Is it one of those walking on water appointments?
No, it's a construction deal that I'm working on. So.
Oh, I see. Well, I didn't know if you were, you know, putting a bid in to buy the Dodgers or you know, going to become a part of that whole new thing. Or
well, you know, I tried to buy them when Guggenheim did $2.1 billion, and they got the bid, and I was slightly outbid. I bid $10,000, and they didn't consider my bid.
They lowballed you, or they thought you were lowballing, huh? Didn't think you were a serious bidder, huh? Mark Simmons, yep. LA Dodger Talk. Always a pleasure to have you on board with us. We got another half an hour around. Real quickly, Mark, American League or National League, who takes it this year?
Oh, I'm going to DNL. You know, I'm more of a National League guy, so, you know, I'm going to DNL.
Well, of course you are. That's because you're Mark Simmons from LA Dodger Talk. Mark,
right.
Always a pleasure. You have yourself a good evening, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Good talking to you, Tom. Have a good one.
All right, buddy. Mark Timmons of LA Dodger Talk. Always good to have him on board, get his perspective and his outlook of what he thinks is going on and his prognostication. The big words. I want to see how many big words we can use on the show. I know I'll lose a lot of my minions. Hey, we got an open mic, 917-889-8516. Want to talk about the Home Run Derby. Want to talk about the American League, the National League. Want to talk about anything to do with baseball, even if it's in the minors and the Triple A's and the Double A's as well. We're going to have some conversation about that coming up as well. Some more talk about the All-Star Game 2013 coming up on Tuesday night at Citi Field.
Forever I am, I can't stop thinking about you. Yeah, 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 why would I want to? I like my chocolate with toast and jelly, but I'd rather be licking from your back to your belly. I think that I'm going to. Do you know what it is to feel the light of loving?
He said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Tired of hearing the same old racing shows? Why listen to the same boring results of mundane robotic ticks?
Try Speed Talk. We're not your father's racing show.
We cover all racing with an edge.
Join the menage a trois of opinions, both crazy and legit.
Check us out at RadioSpeedTalk.com to balance and other local affiliates.
We cover national and local racing venues.
We include great interviews and occasionally throw in some history lessons.
That is Do You Know, Kenny.
Speed Talk.
where entertainment is always a guarantee.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
When Musial retired, I cried in every ballpark in the National League, every place they went. You know, in the last trip in, they honored Musial. I cried. He didn't cry. Musial didn't cry, but I cried. You know, when you used to hear about this guy, you say, well, it can't be true. Then when you meet him, you say, it's an act. And then when you watch it and watch it and watch it and watch him perform, and then after he quit the way he deports himself, you say it's amazing. He's one of a kind. And then you look in the record book and see what he did. You see where he came from, the North Pennsylvania. You say that they won't make him like that anymore. Yeah, they do. They come along and they find out where they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be in baseball. They're supposed to be stars.
Man, a man.
A treat for you, a sneak preview of the new three-act Broadway musical being written and directed by Yankee slugger Alex Rodriguez.
If it's baseball.
If it's baseball.
Tom Marcus is talking about it on The Balance.
Minions. See, I didn't have it off too long that time. Welcome back to the Hot Corner. My name's Tom Marquis. It's good to have you along. Welcome to all my friends up at Indiana Talks who air our Encore show every Thursday night between the hours of 9 and 10 p.m. Hopefully that you are listening to us then. Also, you can find us on the social media at @QHotCorner on Twitter and, of course, www.thebalanceonline.com, and feel free to shoot me an email, tom@thebalanceonline.com, and follow all of our fan pages, The Balance, Indy Pro Sports, as well as Indy in May, another product of The Balance. Well, so glad that you guys could jump along with us. We've got about 20 minutes left. You want to talk baseball? I got some baseball for you. I want to talk some balls. Let's talk balls. 917-889-8516 is my digits to get to me here at the Balance Studios. So glad that you guys could join us. I hope everyone had a great fourth. Now it's time to get back to work and all of that good fun stuff that goes along with it. That's for sure.
Well, you know, we were talking with Mark Timmons about the All-Star and you know what's going to be, what are your thoughts on the All-Star and who's going to win it? Do you really think that the All-Star game is a game? It's just a, or is it just a, an excuse to sit around and I don't know, drink beer with your buddies or something? Like, we really need an excuse to do that, right? You know, I was also wanting to find out from you guys, what do you think have been some of the greatest MLB games of all time? Obviously, there's been many. I want to talk about All-Stars, by the way, not necessarily MLB games. But there's been plenty of games over the course of time that you could rate. Maybe it's hard to narrow that down to the top 10. And certainly maybe if you've got one, I'd like to know those. 917-889-8516, or you can tweet me at Too Hot Corner. I'd love to hear your thoughts on, you know, 10 of the greatest All-Star games of all time. So, you know, let's talk about a few of those and let's see what your thoughts might be on that. You know, a lot of people maybe don't really realize what a huge impact the outcome of the MLB All-Star game actually is. The outcome is this. Whoever wins, whether it's American League or National League, whoever wins actually gets the home field advantage in the World Series, which could be pretty huge, depending on who's in the World Series and, you know, how close of a contention that is and how big of a difference does home field advantage play in baseball. I think like a lot of series is that maybe that the home field advantage doesn't play that big of a role. We know it plays a huge role in football. I think it plays a very, very, very big role in baseball because baseball fans love their baseball. For example, the Yankees or the Cardinals, huge, huge fan base. If you were to ever, I mean, I'm always going to hope for the Cardinals, but if you were to ever have a Yankees and Cardinals World Series, I mean, here in recent history, and you were to look at the attendance, that home field advantage is could really sway the outcome of the World Series, and so it just depends, you know. So you know, we're looking at I'm just looking at some different tweets that we get here on the show from time to time. You know, hey guys, grab a hold of your sack and give me a call. I know on the balance on Saturday mornings, we like the sad sack guys who just call and just say the most stupid, asinine things. We'll give you a break on the hot corner. Give us a call. You don't have to tweet. We get a lot of tweets during the show, which I like. Don't get me wrong. Steve Baker says this. Barker? Is I know that a list like this is hard to compile, but I've got to include the 1934 game. Contrary to people's belief, I was not alive and following baseball in 1934. Although sometimes when I wake up in the mornings, I feel like I've been alive since 1934. But certainly, looking at the history of the game of baseball, You got to include the 30s. Carl Hubbock struck out the future Hall of Famers Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Jimmy Fox, Al Simmons, and Joe Cronin consecutively. You know, and additionally, without going into to really a lot of details, the National League held 4-0 and 4-2 leads before the American League scored sixth in the sixth with an 8-4 lead. The National League came right back with three of their own bottom of the half to close the gap 8-7. But the American League clinched it with one more in the top half in the seventh, holding the National League scoreless in three innings. So there you go, the 1934 All-Star Game. What's your favorite? 917-889-8516. We're talking All-Stars. I do want to get into some conversation about some AAA. Hats off, always hats off to the Indianapolis Indians. If you've not made your way down there to Victory Field in downtown Indianapolis, you don't know what you're missing. One of the nicest ballparks in America and where AAA goes. Certainly a AAA affiliate for the Pittsburgh Pirate, which, by the way, is one of the hottest teams in baseball right now. So we're talking about just a little bit. I'll get off track here just a little bit with the 1934 game. How significant is history, if anything, did history play? What about Ted Williams' walk-off home run in 1941? We see that all the time now, but back in 1941, that was pretty huge. What about game quality? How good was the game? Was it competitive? Was it high scoring? Was it a snoozer? A lot of people think baseball is a snoozer. A lot of people think golf is a snoozer. I personally like both of them. Golf brings out the athlete in all of us. If you've not seen that Tiger Woods commercial, yeah, I'm going to give Tiger Woods some free advertising because, you know, we're working out a deal with them to be out here on the hot corner on Thursday night with this. But yeah, well, how significant was history in that game? You know, and I'm kind of all over the board here. You know, I'm going to just share some of my favorites here. Certainly, we appreciate the tweets from like Dave, who we just read from. 917-889-8516 is my numbers. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. I'm going to talk with you a little bit about some of my favorites, and certainly, they're in no particular order here. So, you know, I'm going to talk about the 1979 All-Stars. Now, I was alive and a kid who loved baseball in 1979. I was actually, I won't say I was playing Little League at that time. I was a little bold for Little League. I wasn't too far out of it. So, you know, hey, I remember, you know, and a lot of you guys might remember with me, and you might say, who in the world is he talking about? But I remember, you know, you hear about all the controversy revolving around Pete Rose and his betting on baseball. But there was a time when he played for the Reds, Big Red Machine, Johnny Bench, Pete Rose. There was a time when you look at some of the greatest teams in baseball and the greatest errors, the 70s and the Cincinnati Reds was part of it. And there's a whole story as to why I am not a Reds fan and am now a Cardinals fan, and it all was around that time in my life. So I do remember the 1979 All-Star game. Lee Manzelli homered and drew a game-winning walk-off, game-winning walk in the ninth inning to lead the National League to a 7-6 victory over the American League at the King Dome in Seattle. Who remembers the Seattle King Dome? Who remembers, speaking of domes, Houston, the Astrodome? Remember that? How about the 1992 All-Star Game? Ken Griffey Jr. goes deep, leads the American League to a 13-6 victory over the National League. I know you're saying to me, I know what you're saying, I know what you're thinking. Ken Griffey Jr. played for the Reds, just like his dad. Well, check your facts. He used to play for Seattle before playing with the Reds, American League. There you go. 2003. Now, come on, even the youngest of the fans remember the 2003 All-Star Game. Hank Blaylock's two-run homer off Eric Genang in the bottom of the eighth. I think in the American League, it created a 7-6 American League comeback win. That's just some of my favorites. Let me ask you this. You were talking about historical significance. And maybe that's where I'm kind of going into some of these games. As far as historical significance goes, and game quality and remembrance factor might be different numbers. You know, you might rank historical significance as a 9, or game quality or how well you remember it a 3, or vice versa. You might remember that game very well, but you don't remember anything about the quality of the game or how significant historically the game was. So the 2008 All-Star Game, I think that game had a lot of historical significance. I would put that in certainly in the low category as far as game quality and remembrance. In fact, the 2008 All-Star Game was a significant game because it took place during the final year of the old Yankee Stadium. For you Yankee fans, I know you're out there. I know you don't want to show your face. Hey, you got Jeter back. That's right. You know, I'm a National League guy. Really, until October, I don't really care much about, except for during the All-Stars. I don't care much about in the American League. I think that's where sluggers go to die, because of the designated hitter rule. Same game, different rules, different leagues, different series. But it was the final, it was a significant game because it took place during the final year of the old Yankee Stadium. It was also the longest All-Star game in duration. It took 4 hours and 50 minutes and tied for most innings played. Yeah, 15 tied and well, the 1967 All-Star Game, I was just about alive at that point. I was born in 1968, but not figuring it out yet. The game ended when Michael Young hit a bases-loaded sacrifice fly to the bottom of the 15th inning to secure a 4-3 win. The MVP of the game was J.D. Drew, who hit a game-tying homer in the bottom of the 7th inning. Yeah, certainly, there may have been better All-Star games. I'd like to hear them. We've taken out a few more minutes here. 917-889-8516. Unfortunately, and I wish that we had a way for our Indiana Talks people to give us a call. Hey, and if you're not listening, if you're listening to my live broadcast and you're not listening to Indiana Talks, you need to do that. Because I'll tell you what, all the cool people are doing that, and you can hear this show again twice. So there you go. But so what we're talking about is some of the great – I'm going to get a few of these because I certainly want to get into some of the AAA and Farm League team. And, you know, we got some fantasy baseball to talk about if you want to do that. Just hard to fit everything in. You know, talking about the 1967 All-Star Game, that was another great All-Star Game. We're talking about a 15-inning marathon. Yeah, remember, I was just talking about the Reds. That game, the 1967 All-Star Game, featured, you know, Reds greats Hall of Famer Tony Perez with a game tied in the top of the 15th. Perez belted a catfish hunter pitch over the wall to give the National League a 2-1 edge and eventual victory. Three home runs, Perez, Dick Allen, and Brooke Robinson accounted for all runs scored in the game. There's also been 30 combined strikeouts in the game since Ferguson Jenkins. So maybe that's a good one. Going back to a little bit before my time, I think a lot of baseball fans, especially baseball fans who follow the history of the game. Now, see, I think you have your casual fans. But I think that if you're a true baseball fan, you go deep into the archives and you learn baseball. Okay, we'll do our best to educate you here, but there's only so much that we can educate you in an hour. We're talking about All-Stars coming up on Tuesday out at Citi Field, the 2013 All-Star Game. Been talking about the Home Run Derby. Talking about All-Stars, this year's All-Stars. Talking about a little bit about the Dodgers. But what I was just wanting to get from you is maybe the greatest MLB All-Star games of all time. So, and unfortunately, it's probably going to be the last one that we have an opportunity to talk about. But the 1946 All-Star Game, I think most people would rank that as a game, not that they remember from the aspects of watching it, but they remember it from the aspects of being a fan and a student of the game. The 1946 All-Star Game. I think they say that was one of the most lopsided wins ever. I think a lot of people would say the 1946 All-Star Game cemented Ted Williams as one of the greatest players in the game. His 4-for-4, 2 home runs, 5 RBI efforts helped lead the American League to a 12-0 victory. 12-0. Williams' second homer of the game proved to be the most memorable. He hit Rip Sewell's gimmick, you buzz pitch, into Fenway's right field bullpen. But, you know, a lot of people, just being a history buff and, you know, loving our country, I think that particular game holds a lot of historical significance as it was the first All-Star game to be played after World War II. It also signaled a return of the stars such as Feller and Williams from wartime service. You got to count a game like that into one of the top. And I tell you what's pretty easy to get. The 1946 All-Star Game, maybe not been pretty to watch, but you can certainly catch it on various different classic things, and it's really easy to find. And I'm sure that you could watch it in modern technology. Well, as always, I end up running my mouth longer than I should. So, you know, I really wanted to get into some minor leagues and AAA and that sort of thing. And I always have good intentions. And I realize that maybe this isn't a place where I can say, it's the thought that counts. I was thinking about it, guys. I really was, and I wish that we had the ability to get more into the AAAs. But hey, we're gonna jump right into the International League West because that's where our Indianapolis Indians are number one. That's right. And they got a pretty significant lead. So hats off. The bats are 12.5 games back. So if that's not a significant lead, it's the biggest lead margin in any of the minor league series right now. Durham Bulls is 10 games ahead of the Norfolk Tides in the South. Now, I'm talking about International League. I know there's a lot of other AAA teams and stuff that we just don't get. And one of these days, I promise you, I'm going to dedicate a whole show to minor league. And, of course, Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs are just three games behind Paul Tuckett, for obviously the AAA affiliate for Boston. So I know I ran out of time. I wish that I didn't, but I tell you what, we could continue this conversation on Twitter. I'll be on Twitter for quite a bit longer. And if you're on our Encore show, you want to Twitter me, just Twitter me at Two Hot Corner. Or at T-Balance, real easy to find. I'll tell you what, I'll even give you my personal Twitter. You ready? T-H-O-M-A-S-M-A-R-Q. There you go. That's El Presidente Tom Marquez. Yeah, I'll continue this conversation about the greatest All-Star games of all time. I'd like to hear. Go ahead and tweet me whenever you're hearing this, and I'll reply. I'll be up for a while. If you don't get a reply tonight, you will tomorrow. And heck, I might even retweet it. You never know. So make sure you guys are tuned in on the balance coming up this Saturday morning. We have a great show for you. We always have a great show for you on Saturday morning. Well, guys, I tell you what. As much as I hate to say it, I have got to bamboozle on out of here. Again, thanks to all of our friends up at Indiana Talks for giving us a listen on a Thursday night. I'm out of here, guys. Don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. Who's your pick to win the All-Star? Sweet that to me at Two Hot Corner or Chief Alex. I'm going with the National League. I hope the Cardinals represent well. Let's go, NL. Get that home field advantage for October. I'm out of here. Salute.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.